nuclear time bombs. Holy overeating. Holy roller coasters.
It's time.
It's time.
It's time for the Lion Sidekick Podcast.
Hey, 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 heroes. Welcome back for another episode of the YM Sidekick Podcast. This is Tom Pounder, and this is where student and online ministers go to get some cool tips and tricks and ideas on how to do ministry in a very digital and online world. And today I'm excited to bring back my friend Seth Muse. Seth is a communication strategist, and he is a fantastic resource to have and to talk to. And we got talking about trolls, online trolls, and the negativity surrounding, you know, just social media in general and just the environment that is social media. Again, there's a lot of positive things that can happen, but there's also some real negative things that can happen, and that's often caused by these trolls of sorts that just like to cause havoc. And so we talk about today about how to respond to that, both personally and as a church. So I'm really excited about today's podcast. So without any further ado, let's get into the conversation now with Seth Muse. All right, with me right now is my friend Seth Muse. Seth, how are you?
I'm doing really good, Tom. How's it going, man?
I'm doing very good, except for I just cut myself shaving, so that doesn't really help me out here. But, I mean, thank God it's an audio podcast, not a video podcast.
So. Right, there's blood everywhere.
Yeah.
It is a horror film over there.
Yeah, I just switched blades, and yeah, anyways. So, Seth, how have you been doing? What's new with you?
Lots is new with me. I actually started a new job. I'm now a communications director at Hope Fellowship in Frisco, Texas.
Nice.
So I'm real happy about that. That's going really well. And right now taking a little hiatus from blog and podcast. So I'm rebranding, getting my website working again like I want it to. And
yeah.
Launching next week. So I'm really excited about it in September. So
really? That's awesome. Well, this will go up basically when that is launched. So do you want to give us the name of that, or do you want us to just...
It's the same. It's just okay. A new look. Yep. You know, I've got some new blogs coming out. It's just I started this job and I just needed the bandwidth to get going. And yep. I haven't emailed anybody or anything on my list, anything like that, for about 3 weeks. And so we did vacation in the middle, went to Orlando Studios with my family, got to see Harry Potter World and all that good stuff. So it was, I just was like, let's just not do this for a while.
Yeah.
And now finally I get to come back.
Well, I definitely see you in the church communications Facebook group a lot. So I see you are busy. So it's not like you're not doing anything. So.
Right. Yeah. I got to keep connected. It's my passion. I can't let it just completely go.
Well, for anybody who maybe doesn't know who you are yet, how did you get involved with church communications?
Honestly, it was what I gravitated towards while I was a youth pastor, and I found myself loving that part of youth ministry a lot. So when I got connected with guys like Dave Schrein, I started listening to his podcast, and Brady Shearer, started listening to his podcast and started going, man, this could be a thing that I do full time, or this could be my job.
Yeah.
I kind of went all in and started learning as much as I could, and man, the Facebook groups and things like that are really a huge part of the and responsible for my education in church communications and how to do things. And now where I've landed, it's like I wouldn't land here without those kind of groups.
Yeah. No, I'm with you. I'm in the same boat myself. So I think you and I have this similar story, and we're making our way into this new field, and it's been great. And I would say a lot of it is attributed to social media. I mean, I love Twitter. I love connecting with people on that platform. I know people don't, but I love Twitter. And so it's just amazing how social media has – I've used social media to connect with people I never would have connected with had it not been for that platform.
So. Absolutely. Yeah, Facebook, Instagram is my – Instagram is my favorite.
Yeah.
But Facebook is definitely where you get the most interaction.
Yeah.
And whether that's good or whether that's bad, you get interaction on Facebook, you know.
Well, this is a perfect segue into our conversation today because we want to talk about social media and we want to talk about just the attitudes and whatnot around social media. How have you seen, in particular the past year and a half or 2 years, how have you seen social media change in regards to people conversing with each other? I'm using that term lightly there.
Yeah, I think it's gotten deeper and shallower at the same time. There's a it's gotten shallower because we're still very disconnected from each other and how we sometimes don't think that's a person behind that name that we interact with.
Yeah.
And so you see these really awful comments that, you know, if they were able to say them and you could see their face and hear the tone of their voice, maybe they would have gotten away with it, you know, and that would have been fine. But just reading it, it comes off as just awful. Like things like, how could you think that? Why don't you go back to school? You know, like things like that. You know, why would you say that? Don't say that to people.
Yes.
I have a hard time imagining how that could ever be taken right. But it's actually gotten deeper too, because Facebook groups and direct messaging has become a lot bigger part of social media. And so that one-on-one and small group conversations have gotten actually more intentional and more meaningful.
Mm-hmm.
And especially things like the Facebook groups and stuff like that get a lot more of your real conversations, real people helping each other out, and it's more of a community. So it's gotten deeper, and especially when you add video in there where you can hear the tone of the voice, you can see their faces, it helps a ton with the live video and things like that. So it's gotten deeper, but it's also gotten shallower because there's still a lot more divisive stuff happening that people want to talk about out in the world now. It's just the world itself has provided a lot more fodder for, you know, just being a troll. You know, they make it easy.
No, it doesn't make it easy at all. And as a person who's a believer, it makes it really hard to figure out what to do, in particular in response to trolls. So how have you responded to that? And what do you do in regards to trolls and that real negativity sometimes that can come out in the social media?
Yeah, I mean, there's all manner of magical creatures out there, such as trolls and, you know, cat lovers and Calvinists and all that kind of stuff. There's all kinds of magical beasts out there that, you know, I kid. But, you know, there's all kinds of types of people that are just ready to snipe you, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And so with trolls specifically, I basically have, like, there's – if you're a church social media manager or you're volunteering in some way in social media, there's preventative measures and there's also responsive measures.
Mm-hmm.
And for preventative measures, it's like you kind of just avoid things like politics and keep things generally upbeat, positive. And I'm not saying, like, you know, unicorns and butterflies all day, but, you know, just being, like, generally kind and Christ-like as best you can. And also remembering that when you're trying to be funny, sarcasm doesn't really translate.
Yes.
You know, and then when you're talking about theology, you have to be really careful. I'd like to say leave the real deep theology to the pastor and you know, you focus on what you can do on social.
Yeah.
But the biggest thing in preventative stuff is just knowing what you're going to do when something is said that's negative.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm working on this right now. We've actually had a couple of negative comments at our church recently.
Really?
And they're not, like, bad. It's just, I don't think you should do that. Or this church, you know, doesn't understand something, whatever, you know, and you have to have, like, okay, when someone has a comment that's like X, fill in the blank, because you've seen them.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to say why. And so it's basically just having something kind of written down, I guess, if you want to write it down. I have it in my head, you know, like, here's the response we have. That way, if you have other people managing your social media, your preventative measure is in place that you can hand them something. They can go, all right, well, that just got said, so here's what the church wants me to say back.
Mm-hmm.
And it doesn't have to be like copy and paste, but just something to that effect, you know.
Yeah.
To make it more personal and all that. So having a policy is the best preventative measure.
Yeah, I would agree with you on that one. And that, to be honest, I didn't even think about having a policy of response in the regards to that. Like, for instance, I'm the online campus pastor at my church too. And so we have chat hosts on our live streaming. And I've taken this off of some other churches that I've gotten. It wasn't anything I created. But they actually had a bunch of, like, responses that you can do in certain situations. And so I like how you just said that, you know, for you to kind of come up with some responses, have them written down so that whoever's in charge of your social media can respond in that, like, that's a unified response that's not just you, but that's coming from the higher ups there. So I like that a lot.
Yeah, and it's easy to do when you kind of think about, okay, what if somebody walked in this room and said that to my face?
Yeah.
What would I say if I'm, like, trying to keep this relationship? You know, it's that's how you need to write it.
Yeah.
And that kind of follows into the responsive measures side of things.
Mm-hmm.
So when you're dealing with trolls, I mean, there's all manner of trolls. There's those kinds that'll come in and say some untrue thing about your church, just way off the wall, that you know, okay, this person's just trying to eat a rise. Mm-hmm. You know, this person has no idea what's going on. Or it could be a member, you know, and then like it has an actual grievance. And so when you first see someone say something negative on social, the first responsive measure is to look them up in your database and find out who this person is.
Yep.
I don't know how many times I've gotten a negative comment and gone like, what, who is this? And then, oh my gosh, they don't even go here. Why am I, you know, it's like, there's a different way to handle it. Not that they don't matter. It's just different. You have to know how you handle it.
Yeah, I would agree with you. In fact, we just actually had a situation over the summer where we own and operate a sports facility, and it's called the End Zone. And as much as I think the End Zone, it's N-Z-O-N-E, is a unique name, there are still end zones out there that are the same, very similar looking. And there's one actually in the county right next to us. And someone literally got on our Facebook page, wrote a terrible review about us. And then, I mean, it raised all sorts of flags. Like, as soon as I read it, I was like, oh my gosh. And I called my boss. I'm like, we have to respond to this. But as we started looking at, okay, is this person in our database? Just exactly like what you said. Well, no, this person was not in our database. So what I ended up doing was I messaged her and said, I'm going to private message you right now. And as I talked with her privately in our message, we were able to realize she's got the wrong end zone. And she had a completely different one in mind. And she was great to talk through about this. And she was able to change her review, thank goodness. But she was able to change it to where it didn't look so poorly upon us. But that seems like that could happen very commonly.
Yeah, and that's an awesome story. I mean, well done on that, because that's step two. It's always direct to that private message.
Yeah.
And I always say, too, when you get negative, whether it's a comment or a review, respond publicly and say, hey, we're sorry that this happened, or this isn't what we desired. I'm going to private message you, or would you go to private message with me, and let's try to figure out what, you know, what we can do to make this better, or so we can understand more of what it is that's going wrong. And a lot of times you find out they're just confused. They got the wrong end zone. You know, it's like they got the wrong. And how many churches have the same name? Do you know? It could be some other church down the road that's totally screwed up, and you're like, no, that's not us, man. That's not us. We'd love for you to come over, you know? So, you know, there's just doing that kind of due diligence eliminates a lot of the ignorance. Cause that's the one thing that's true about all trolls, is they're usually not very informed about what they're trolling. They don't understand what they're really trolling. That's why they're coming in and saying such outlandish things. And everyone goes, what are you talking about? Because they clearly don't understand the situation. They don't know all the facts. They're not quite typically, they don't understand what they're doing. They don't know what they're talking about. So to really, you have to be careful in how you do it. Cause you could find, oh, well, this person might actually come to our church, and then they could learn not to do that.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, I agree with you completely. This is awesome insights, and I love this, because I think if you don't respond, you leave yourself up for a narrative that about your church or your ministry that is not right, and you end up having to, you know, go completely full circle and do a lot of putting out fires.
Yeah, I think we saw that this week with Lakewood.
Yes, I didn't want to bring that up, but I mean, that was something I was thinking about.
I mean, their biggest mistake was they just didn't respond. And thinking about it, too, I mean, just a side note, whoever's running that social, their house is probably flooding. They're probably trying to get their family to safety. I mean, if I were me, I don't care about my church's social media either. Yeah. I'm not paying attention to it, you know?
Yeah.
So we have to give them grace, you know, in all churches. You don't know what's going on behind the scenes. We just don't know. Well, but anyway, you know, when it comes to the negativity, you know, you direct that private message, you know, check out who you're talking to. But the main thing is keep in mind there's other people watching when you're talking to them. And you might not be able to change that troll person's mind, but others are going to see it. And that's why I also recommend, like, leave the negative comment up unless it's just filled with profanity or something really horrible, you know. Let them see that you're not, like, hiding something, you know. It's like, we only let the good stuff out. No, be authentic, and that goes miles and miles down the road, people.
Yeah, well, I agree completely. And I think not even just from a church side of things, but even from our personal lives, I mean, again, as we share things, the way we respond to a terrible Facebook post or something being critical said about us really reflects our faith. And it can go a long way in helping someone really discover who God is for themselves in a negative way or in a very positive way. So we have a real impact in our own personal social media accounts.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, I think that we're always, you know, so quick in the groups, I see this question, like, we've had negative feedback and what do we do? And it breaks my heart when some people are so quick to say, Joe, just ban that sucker.
Yeah.
Just gone. I think that's your last resort, because at the end of the day, we're not just managing a social media site. Mm-hmm. We are ambassadors for the gospel online. And our job is to react in grace as much as we can to try and reach the person who has attacked us. It is literally turning the other cheek and saying, you're welcome to hit me again, but I'm going to keep telling you this good news.
Yeah.
You know, that is a hard position to take, especially online when people are so mean.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, only ban when it's necessary. Like somebody's being abusive, someone's being belligerent, someone's being offensive or, you know, using language. And you can set up like all your stuff in the side with your, what's it called? Your description. You can set up some rules. Like if you're going to interact with our page, here's some rules.
Mm-hmm.
That way you've got your, you kind of, you know, covered yourself and you're able to go, well, in our rules of engagement here, this is what we've said. So this isn't okay. And then you can always just refer people back to that, which is part of your prep plan, right? Mm-hmm. That's part of your responsive plan.
Mm-hmm.
But at the end of the day, you might have to ban them. And I think when you do, I think even if the comments are negative and they aren't offensive and all that, even though you've banned them, I say still leave them up, even though they're banned. And Facebook may take them down. I'm not sure what their policy is. They may change that where they just remove all those.
Yeah.
In the past, they haven't, because I've banned someone and I keep seeing their comments, even previous ones, like previous ones, not new ones, previous ones. But, you know, so I'm not sure if Facebook's ever going to change that or not. But it, I see no harm in that, to see that the church did what, you know, people expect us to do, what I think God expects us to do, and that is love people before we have a nice little utopia online of friendliness. And so,
yeah. And honestly, I mean, the banter back and forth with people is only getting worse. So I don't think there's going to be a big utopia of niceness anytime soon.
Yeah, I think people need to really learn to use that unfollow button.
Yes.
On Facebook and start to curate. But and you do get into a situation, if you do that too much, you get to where you're only, you create an echo chamber. You only hear what you like from people who agree with you.
Yeah.
So you kind of have to define, like, what am I trying to get out of social media? Is that what we really want in social media? For a church, it's different. Personally, I unfollow a lot of people that just make me mad. You know, I've got other things that make me mad enough without them just adding to it. So I, for my church, it's, I want to be inclusive. I want to be inviting, want to be gracious and all and kind, but you know, there may be some people that just, you know, they just got to go.
Yeah.
And you got to make that decision, pull the trigger and live with it. So, I encourage people to make that your last resort. Do your best to try to be gracious, but, you know, be ready to make that hard choice, because that's part of our job.
Yeah. And again, as the decisions you make and the responses that you have with these people will go a long way for that person to know who Jesus is. Maybe not tomorrow or the next day, but down the road, they'll remember, oh yeah, I remember when I had that interaction on Facebook with such and such church. And that was it. Maybe I should look back and go on the church. I think God can use that in a big way, depending on how we respond to people.
Yeah, and you think about all the stupid reasons that you've gone, like, I don't like that church, or a church that you didn't want to go to anymore. All the ridiculous, small, insignificant things that you've criticized churches over.
Mm-hmm.
You know, well, an interaction with your church's page can make a huge difference in someone's life, as small as it might even be. Today, I reached out on Twitter to the city of Plano because I was angry about the construction on my street. And literally they responded and sent someone over to talk to the engineer, gave me updates all day long. And man, I'll tell you, I love Plano.
Wow.
I mean, I love Plano. The city is responding and taking, I mean, they're paying attention, and they know that if someone responded and was angry and they didn't respond or try to make it right, or really care about me as an individual, they probably, it translates as, well, they don't care about the city as a whole.
Yeah.
And while that's kind of irrational, it's not, you know, it's just the way people are.
Yeah. No, I agree completely. Well, this has been awesome, dude. You've given me a ton of great stuff that I have to now go back and look at and put in some things, some policies myself of how we're going to respond in certain situations. So this has been awesome. So thanks so much for your insights. I really appreciate it.
Cool, man. I appreciate you having me on. Thanks.
Hey, well, before I let you go, though, tell everyone where they can find your podcast again and where they can find your website. It's just so that when you're launching this week, so man, you're going. Let's get this out there.
And the old one's still up at the point, but right now, when this probably goes live, it'll be a new look. It's SethMuse.com.
Great,
and you can find the podcast there, but you can also just look that up on iTunes or Google Play. It is called The Seminary of Hard Knocks.
And I love that name.
Yeah, it started out of just the fact that I didn't have any teachers for this kind of stuff. I just had to learn it, man. I've messed up and course corrected into some kind of an education to be able to do this. So still learning. And that's kind of, it's experience. It's fun. I'm really having a good time with it now that I'm working full time and don't have to try to make money off of it. You know, it's nice to be able to just have fun again.
Yeah, dude. No, but you got great content. So if you're not subscribed to his podcast, you're not checking out his blog, especially when he relaunches it rebrands it. You know, definitely go check it out. It's awesome content. And what I love about you, Seth, is again, you're humble, you're a learner. And you really just like to share what you're learning with other people. And I think that's fantastic.
Well, thanks. And speaking of that, I didn't mention this, but I do have a resource out everybody needs to go get.
Oh, cool.
It is called 88 Ideas for Church Social Media Posts.
Nice.
So if you're ever confused on what you can post on social, I've got 88 ideas for you. And they're ideas. They're not just like, here's Facebook ideas, here's Instagram. It's like, here's some content you can turn into any of these kinds of posts. And most of the posts will regenerate into and create ideas for new posts off of that post. So it's a lot of questions, a lot of interactive stuff, and it'll help your social media engagement grow organically.
That's awesome. Where can we find that?
That's on the website, SethMuse.com. Go there. There'll be a pop-up. Fill out. You'll join my list and my emails. I have a lot of fun with my emails, so it's not on the boring list. So join my list, and I'll send it to you. It's free.
Yeah, that's great. And it makes me harken back to the time that I had you on about doing emails. So, I mean, you know how to write an email, man. So, you know, so you got some good. So definitely sign up for that and get that social media stuff. That's awesome. Well, Seth, thanks. Thank you. Thanks so much for joining me today, man.
I appreciate it. Thank you.
All right, there you have it, my conversation with Seth Muse. I love having Seth on. I love talking with him. I love his accent, actually, too, because he's got quite a different accent than I have. And so it's always kind of nice to talk to someone a little bit further down south. But I love talking communications with him and his heart and his desire to communicate effectively. And this is a big deal. Trolls and negativity, this is the new normal now. There are going to be people who just want to wreak havoc on your personal life and in your ministry's life. They don't want good things to happen just because they're jerks sometimes. Let's just be honest. They're just jerks. And so how do you respond effectively really can help that person also or also help other people really hear about God in a real positive way. So I really encourage you to really think through how you're going to respond in those situations. And so Seth had a lot of good ideas, and it was just great talking to him. So I would love to hear from you guys. What do you think about online trolls? What have you found to be effective in dealing with online trolls and negativity? Share it with me. Hit me up on Twitter at TA Pounder. I would love to hear your thoughts and your ideas on what you do and how you respond. All right, heroes. Well, that wraps it up for another episode. Thanks so much for joining me. I really appreciate it. As always, head on over to iTunes and subscribe to this if you have not subscribed already. I've got, again, a ton. And I'm not talking about this like lightly, like I'm just making up this. I got a lot of great people coming on the podcast in the next few weeks. So I'm really excited about these people, some fresh faces, some reoccurring faces. Well, they're voices, not faces. It would be, if it was a video podcast, it would be faces, but these are voices. So I got some great voices coming on the podcast, some great practitioners. So I'm really excited about that. So definitely go to iTunes and subscribe to it. And also go to ympsychic.com. I've got a ton of fresh content out there on student ministry stuff and online ministry stuff. All cool tips and tricks and ideas on how to do ministry more effectively in this very digital and online world. So check it out. And, it'd be great to have you check it out. All right, heroes, well, I hope you have a great rest of the week. And until next time, have a great one.